Disclaimer, all music streamed on this podcast is protected by Section 108 of the U.S. Copyright Act, which states that copyrighted work reproduced for purposes of criticism and comment are not an infringement of copyright. But with that being said, let's set sail on the virtual ocean. Let me welcome you to the show.
Show. Hello, world. Welcome to episode 25 of The Virtual Ocean. I'm your host, J.Ram. I am joined by my talented producer and shipmate, Brandon Mattel. And I'm also joined by a bit of a cold, so I'm sorry if I sound a little nasally and congested, like in the last episode. We are recording this back-to-back, so I'm sorry about that. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. This is the Vaporwave Music Discovery Podcast. We are happy to have you on board. If you don't know what Vaporwave is an experimental electronic music genre and internet-based art aesthetic. The genre is known for both its criticism and worshipping of modern capitalism and plays off of 80s and 90s aesthetics to show us the ghost of a future that never was. Vaporwave also has a strong sense of irony behind it and walks a fine line between troll takes and genius ideas. In each episode, we highlight an artist or album within the Vaporwave genre and listen to it, analyze it, and discuss it with you, the listener. You can follow us on Instagram at The Virtual Ocean, where we curate aesthetic art on a daily basis. Our opinions are our own, and we welcome you to join in on the conversation by commenting on our Instagram. But now, for today's episode. We will be diving 1,000 miles per hour into the first album of the godfather of vapor trap, Patrick Driscoll, aka Blank Banshee. Blank Banshee Zero is a vaporwave treasure up there with the likes of Macintosh 420's Floral Shop. The album was released in 2012 and was the first to unearth the sound that would become vapor trap. Combining the strange samplings that came from the vaporwave world and perfectly melding it into these trap beats, a sound the internet hadn't heard until Blank Banshee sculpted it. Blank Banshee Zero is an album that's held in high regards to many vaporwave listeners and still holds up as an album to this day because of its innovative compositional takes and its ability to paint very obscure electronic visuals in your head. You just got to experience it for yourself. Let's set sail for Blank Banshee's world of Blank Banshee Zero. So let's begin this iconic vapor trap album with the first track titled Startup. So that startup track features the Windows startup sound and is one of the most iconic album intros in the vaporwave genre. Like, it can't really go understated how crucial this album was, not just Vapor Trap, but vaporwave as a whole. This album came out in 2012, and combined the sounds of everything that was big around that time and packaged it into this beautiful aesthetic teal and purple image of something that's never been done before at the time. And it really just can't be stated how important this Vapor Trap album is. So let's go on to the second track titled Wave Step. Second track titled Wave Step is a introduction and a free fall into this huge open space, this fractal image of you falling into what seems to be a digital kind of world, a digital world of old software like Microsoft Windows, Paint, MS Paint, some PlayStation games. It feels like a giant collage of things from the past of the childhood of many millennials. And it seems like with this album, Patrick Driscoll, who is Blank Banshee, according to the Wikipedia on this, it was produced on Ableton Live with the Akai MPD-26. And a lot of his ideas around this album was to separate himself from the guitar-driven music he was making. So what resulted was him making music based off of a lot of accessory things, a lot of unrelated things, and, you know, adding these trap beats that infuse so beautifully with it. It doesn't seem like it's just a trap beat overlaid on some vaporwave sounds. It very much seems like an interweaving of everything into one Blank Banshee sound. So yeah, it's really cool to be finally listening to this album with you, Sailors, and we will continue with the third track titled Bath Salts. That track is titled Bath Salts, taking us to a high energy club vibe with the vaporwave, with the trap, with just everything going on. Reminds me of a 90s rave Eastern Europe. But instead, there's a shade of electronic artificiality behind it, which I like, with the boosting of the synths, with the just the fast beat with that one. Blank Banshee is not a stranger to making his music a lot harder, a lot more in your face, and he's not afraid to tread that line for the sake of creating this very pristine and chaotic environment that he likes to bring you in with his albums. very ravey track with that one. A lot of his other music doesn't seem to touch that as much, but very interesting to put that as the third track in this album. And so we'll go on to the next track titled Ammonia Clouds.
Thank you.
And that track is out of the Ammonia Clouds. Oh my God! With this one, it might sound familiar if you're a fan and devout follower of our podcast. This was featured on our Taste of Vapor Trap episode way back when. And in this track, you have a very spacious feel. I think a lot of the album is very spacious. You have a lot of big open spaces that you can look, you can peer into infinitely, almost like we are sailing. And our ship has suddenly appeared on a skyline, just floating by so many clouds. We're just flying through it, and it's teal and purple, and there's lightning storms, and there's so many things going on visually, I think, with this album. And with this, you have a very catchy melody that Bling Banshee likes to chop up, you know, and that melody is really catchy, and it's something that really sticks out. And something you don't really see often with a lot of these early Vapor Trap albums. You don't really hear these melodies that stick with you. A lot of the times, like with our last episode with Manipools, you have more of a focus on the trap beat. But Bling Banshee likes to layer everything into a way where it's more than just the sum of its parts. And that's what we get with Ammonia Clouds. So let's go ahead and go to track 5, titled Venus Death Trap.
Thank you.
And that track is titled Venus Death Trap, and Blank Banshee showcasing the ability to use vocal samples as these very strange elements that create the underlying rhythm and the beat of the songs he puts on. Wow, definitely that track is a kind of a precursor to the kind of music Blank Banshee will make later on, especially in the 2019 album Metamorphosis, which was a lot more along the lines of that past track. Very, very jumpy, very glitchy, very along the lines of abstract sounding, and yet it's carried on with this trap beat, which gives it this pulse that kind of brings you to wonder what's going to come next. And yeah, that is Venus Death Trap. A lot of people cite that as their favorite song on this album based on Bandcamp, which is a very interesting choice. You know, a lot of the vaporwave community has a wide range of tastes. It's always fun to see like what people find as their favorite tracks on albums like this, because such an iconic album is a big piece of conversation within the vaporwave community, and that is Venus Death Trap. So let's go on to the sixth track titled Hyper Object. That track is titled Hyper Object. Very funkadelic vibes, like starts off very funkadelic and then it gets more and more haunting with the sampling. What did it say? I couldn't remember what it said. Yeah, very haunting sound, and it just oozes into this outro that just becomes more and more of a taunt, almost like we are sailing in the sky. And we have just inhaled this gas that has us unconscious and has us tripping on some kind of psychedelic thing going on here. Very Wow. It's hard to really put into words what exactly this album like puts you through visually and experientially. And that's just the result of the mashup that Blank Banshee puts on in this album. There's such a deliberate choice of almost like a randomness that's chosen. I don't know how to put it, but that I definitely get that vibe from that track of like, oh my God, it's fun. I love how it opens up with that beat and it just becomes this like, whoa, what is going on, you know? And yeah, that is Hyper Object. Let's go on to the seventh track titled Photosynthesis. And that track is titled Photosynthesis, a very suitable name because it feels like the evolution of a machine happening right before our eyes, or some kind of naturally occurring growth or change that's happening before our eyes that is artificial at the same time. I don't know. I guess that's the best way I can put it with that track. It opens with a very big, spacious opening. It sounds very pleasant. And you got some live guitar played by Blank Banshee himself, I'm pretty sure. And then you just get these like almost disturbing sounding screeches at the end with the like almost like a dubstep kind of thing, or I don't know what those are called. I'm sure Brandon could elaborate on those. But with this track, you really get a better sense of the kind of palette that Blank Banshee works with. It's a lot more of a wide variety of different mediums that he's using and kind of just making collaging them into one thing. And it's not quite as crazy as something like Giant Claw. I think Giant Claw is an artist we featured on the show a few episodes back. That is probably the farthest you can go with this collage type sound. But at the time that this album came out in 2012, this was that. This was every sound that was prominent at the time into this unique sound that Blank Banshee made that eventually became vapor trap. It became the genre that defined a whole subgenre of vaporwave that paved the way for albums like Manipool. And so that's what you get from that track. Brandon, we are on track 7 of this album. What are your thoughts so far?
Oh, I'm having a blast, man. What I'm loving so far is just the fact that every production and every song sounds so separate from the previous one that we listened to, right? So, and it paints a very different picture. So, and I agree with you in that sense that were you talking about how it's very hard to like explain the visuals, because I'm sure the visuals that you're seeing is very different from what I'm seeing, right? In terms of how we like visualize these sounds. And so I'm having a lot of fun just trying my best to like hear all the different sonics he's trying to bring in and all these different sounds that the Blank Banshee's trying to introduce. Because I think what I really like the most is that his drums tend to stay super consistent. This is a he, right? Blank Banshee. Mm-hmm. Okay. His drums tends to stay super consistent, but he changes out and flips out sounds and melodies. So it's almost like every two or three bars or like every phrase or something completely new. So like it's very similar to how vaporwave used to be, where you kind of get comfortable in a melody, but then they all of a sudden change it on you. I think that theme is very consistent. But the samples, even though they sound so different, they all kind of contribute to how the song plays out. So I'm having a lot of fun just listening to like the different synthesizers and the fact that everything is so loud. Actually, like it's so loud and massive, but he places it in the way in the soundscape that just kind of complements and gives you this big space to listen to the music in. So
yeah, you never feel like anything's fighting for for the lead in the song. It feels very in its place, and yet it feels so so big and bold. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the spacing of the sounds, like you really get this sense of infinite. There's no walls around you with this kind of sound. You're very much out in the open, but you don't know like quite where you are out in the open. It almost kind of makes me picture our podcast logo in a way. Just that scape of infinite grid and just a natural thing above us, like a sky above us. And yeah, so this is Blank Banshee Zero, everybody. This is one of the most quintessential vaporwave albums of all time, and we will continue with track 8 titled Deep Space. Thank you. another big play on space with the track Deep Space, with the slithering hi-hats entering you into this very, very tight space. That's definitely one of the more suffocating parts of this album. Definitely bring you into a smaller, more constrained space. It feels very uncomfortable, that last one, with the hi-hats and the, sorry, freaking word vomiting right now, everybody, but what, you know, that's just this podcast, you know. What I was trying to say was, this track made me feel a lot more constrained because of the synth progression in that one, the synth melody in that one felt very uneasy, a lot more claustrophobic in that track. So it is a deep space. It feels like a tunnel going down. We're more constrained to a tighter spot, and we're very high up, I guess, is a way to put that last track. Sometimes you like talk so much on this podcast that you just kind of say whatever the thought is before the thought is finished, and that happens sometimes. So I apologize. Let's go ahead and go to the ninth track. It is titled Dreamcast. Is titled Dreamcast, and it is definitely my favorite track on this entire album so far. The sample in that is a song called Resistor by Shinjuku Mad, and Shinjuku Mad is a duo composed of Blank Banshee and a Curtis Ferguson, who is from New Brunswick, Canada. And they departed in 2011 because Curtis Ferguson wanted to focus on MMA. It would be kind of cool if that was Tony Ferguson, the big MMA fighter right now, who's set to go against Habib. I won't go into UFC. But yeah, so that sample is from a former project of Blank Banshee. I just love this track because, there's something about the way he messes with the vocal samples that makes it sound like a machine is trying to understand how to sing, is the best way to put it. And when it does that, it gives you this like creepy feel of like it's so uncanny, but it's like it's an uncanny valley in audio form, I'd say. And you can hear in the background Blank Banshee's guitar, his palm muting chords that he's playing, and it just adds this crispiness to the track that it just adds this like creamy buttery feel to it, and it just it's a track that's very fully conceptualized and focused, I think, compared to most of the tracks on this album. It feels like a very full idea that's executed to its highest potential. But then again, he had a whole band that he had before this that he could use as a sample. So I guess he's kind of cheating. But I love it. My favorite track so far. We'll move on. If Ben has nothing to add, we'll go on to track 10 titled Cyber Zodiac. Track is titled Cyber Zodiac. A bit of a fade in and out with that melody, giving you a bit of a ghastly feel. Feels a little haunted. A big theme with a lot of Blank Banshee's music for sure. And a bit of a decelerando where the tempo goes slower and slower and just becomes this transitionary outro into whatever the next track is. And yeah, very, very cool track. Very cool, simple track. Nice little follow-up to Dreamcast, the big, I'd say the big epic that was the ninth track titled Dreamcast. But let's see what we got next with the 11th track titled Teen Pregnancy. We'll be right back. that track is titled Teen Pregnancy. Probably the most conceptually twisted track, I'd say. It moves away from the abstraction of a lot of the other tracks and goes into teen pregnancy. And that I'm Just a Kid sample is from an episode of Degrassi Junior High from the 1980s. The character Shane says, "I'm just a kid," after she finds out she is probably pregnant. And Blank Banshee was like, "Yeah, fuck it, I'll make a song about that." And it's a fucking banger. I like it. I like the 80s disco laser sounds. It sounds familiar, but it's used in a way that's you don't expect it to be used. That I'm Just a Kid sample is used in future Blank Banshee albums as well. I believe it's used in Blank Banshee 2, or in Mega, sorry. And yeah, that is Teen Pregnancy, a fan favorite. A lot of people say that's their favorite on the Bandcamp page. And yeah, do you have a thought on that track, Brandon?
I just like how it feels, considering the theme of the song. It felt very like your life is kind of like wrecked, but it was like so upbeat. Yeah. The way he did it, you know what I mean? It was like, because obviously being a kid, right, being pregnant, right, but I just love how like he managed to turn it into like a dance beat. Yeah. Like, super psychedelic. And it's like there were themes in the chords where you're just like, when he would bring the samples back and it was like, oh yeah, like
it's about teen pregnancy. Yeah.
It's very cleverly done.
I think so too.
Appreciate for that reason.
Yeah, that juxtaposition is pretty funny, but it's such a banger at the same time. All right, let's go ahead to the 12th track titled Purity Boys. Is titled Purity Boys. The sample used in that is the track I Wasn't Made for These Times by the Beach Boys, created in 1966. And this is probably the most demonic rendition you can make of a wholesome song. You have this minor key bass progression going on in the back. You got these uncomfortable dripping synth noises going on to just flash in and out. And wow, that's a Beach Boys song, everybody. And hence the wholesomeness of it being called the Purity Boys. And it seems like that track really wants to go into the next one. So we'll play the next one. And it is titled Visualization.
Visualization. Let go of all outside concerns. Close your eyes. To form. can look around and see the colors
and shapes and all the things around you.
Imagine that you're doing something you'd like to be doing in a place you'd like to be, feeling physically strong
and emotionally balanced.
This track is a sampling of a meditation. Okay, let's see where it goes with the next track titled World Vision. This track, World Vision, is a pleasant release from the build-up from the Purity Boys track to the meditation track transition. And in this track, we are led to a beautiful opening into a large landscape with a beautiful sun setting down on us, a nice infinite space on display, a bit of a escape from the harshness that came from the other last third of the album. The sample there is Cosmojani by Bjork. And yeah, this is a very, almost like an ambient feel kind of track. It's a nice way to be. This is the penultimate track of the album, everybody. The album is about to finish off. And this track is a nice little way to lead us out to whatever is next. And I think we should just finish this off and talk about this album afterwards. So we'll play the last track. It is titled Shutdown Depression.
Thank you.
in our final track of this album, there is no trap beat. There's only melody. There's only 808 MIDI type of melody, and it takes us into a beautiful evening where the sun sets finally, and it is just dark and it is peaceful in this strange machine abstract world we have been in. And similar to Vape Error's album Manipools, which followed this album 2 years later, the album closes with a shutdown and opens with a startup. Yeah, so this is one of the greatest vaporwave albums released according to the vaporwave community. And just a little bit about this album. Again, we can't emphasize enough how this album is like an intersection of everything that came around this time. And, you know, it really did open up the vaporwave genre to people who are less likely to get into experimental things. And that's thanks to its trap beats. And the trap beats combined with the strange melodies and the very obscure sampling that Blank Banshee does, when you combine all that, it opens up the ears of people who are more just into trap music, but have a bit of an inkling and openness to something a little crazier. And yeah, just around this time, Blank Banshee was a very prominent figure. I don't think Blank Banshee is part of any kind of label either. I think Blank Banshee is completely independent. And that says a lot about the credibility of Blank Banshee as an artist. Also, Blank Banshee has done tours before. In 2017, he went on a tour across the United States. I ended up missing him because I didn't know about him at the time. So that is Blank Banshee Zero. Brandon, any thoughts on this?
I really liked actually that outro a lot. For some reason, it reminded me a lot of I don't know if you played RuneScape before, but it for me it almost felt like all the players as they were moving on to bigger and better games. It's like the last few players that are just kind of like walking across this barren wasteland, because the sonics of that were very similar to RuneScape, right? Like when you're like mining stuff, there's like kind of like synthetic mandolins or like orchestral instruments. But that's what that reminded me of. And for some reason, I really strong visuals with RuneScape. Like it's almost like there's one loyal player and you just see everyone else logging off until like the servers finally get shut down. And that's kind of what it reminded me of. But overall, I definitely think this record had a lot of highs and lows. That more of the highs definitely were in the beginning. And then I think it became more of an organic feel as we progressed along. And then obviously Purity Boys and Teen Pregnancy was just like a bit of a bangers, but like the source material is definitely a little dark. So I think definitely vaporwave checklists all around. I would love to hear how the process of making a lot of these records, because the sonics and just the sounds in general just felt super, super fun to listen to. So yeah, I had a lot of fun listening to this one.
Yeah, definitely that outro felt a lot like it felt very movie score like for being a minute long. It felt like suddenly we're exiting this story that we've been a part of. And like you said earlier in the episode, that the images that this album conjures in people's minds will be different. Unlike something like 2814 or any of Telepath's albums, where the ambient is very clear what it's trying to portray. Or the Molsoft albums are very clear on what they're trying to portray. But this album portrays something a bit more abstract, aside from being like a really, you know, with the trap beats carrying it through. And because of that, that final track kind of makes you conclude in your mind whatever journey you were going on subjectively. And that's awesome. That is the Blank Banshee album. Everybody, what did you think about this album? Are you listening to it for the first time? Is this your time listening to it again? But with us, we want to know what you think. Please go on our Instagram at The Virtual Ocean, where we post daily aesthetic art. And you can join in on the conversation by shooting us a message or just leaving a comment on anything, on any post we make. Just like, let's talk about Blank Banshee, everybody. Let's just talk about this classic album over here. And yeah, so any closing thoughts before we leave, Brandon? All right, Brandon's good. We just want to thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is our 25th episode. We've done 25 of these. That's a quarter of the way to 100. That's a big deal to us. And we've been getting some consistent listens the past past year. We've been doing this for a year already. This rendition of the podcast, and it's been so fun. It's really just like one of the most chill things that we could do, and we're so glad you guys can join us for this. It's really just about the love for music, the love for vaporwave, and the love for art, really. And you know, we just want to show you guys some love and just to tell you how much we appreciate you guys. So go ahead, please engage with us on Instagram, and we will talk to you there. All right, everybody, this was Blank Banshee Zero. And I'm your host, J.Ram. That is Brandon Mattel, and we will see you in the next episode. Goodbye, everybody.
Raise the davit. Get these folks on board.
How are we looking today, sir?
Skies are clear, and the ocean laughs. I think we should go where our hearts take us.